From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. We have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about some of the things that's being done to this defense in order to improve it. We're going to start here in a minute with Chris's reaction to Xavier Williams, since he wasn't able to respond yesterday. And then we're going to talk about the inside linebacker group, what it means and where they're going. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, your host. Chris is our managing editor over at LockedOnChiefs.com. You can also find all of the pre-draft analytics stuff at RogueAPC.com. And that's where you want to find the guide and everything that's coming this year. We've got some great stuff in the works, and we may have some new partners, so keep an eye out for that as well. But why don't we get right to it? So because of schedules, you guys heard me talk about Xavier Williams yesterday, but you need to hear Chris's side. And, man, I know it's an interesting guy. What do you make of this?
I think it fits their mold of what they want to do. They want to go younger on defense. I don't know. Faster probably doesn't apply since we're talking about a nose tackle. But they definitely got younger at the position. This guy's 26 years old. He was a restricted free agent from the Cardinals, and the Cardinals decided not to match the offer, which we still don't know what the offer is at this point. I'm guessing it'll come out probably before this is actually released. This is actually a day early, so just a heads up on that. But I like it. I think it's a good signing for them. It kind of opens up options for what they can really do with their second-round pick. And it's not, you know, the other thing that we haven't really talked about is the first kind of domino fell in the safety market. Not to change the subject.
No, I agree. And I touched on that yesterday as well. Just that Burnett finally signed. Somebody finally signed to at least set the market, right?
Well, and you wonder how much he's really going to be setting the market, considering he's older. He's the oldest of the so-called great safeties. So I don't know how much he's really setting the market, but I think he's probably going to be lower than the other three. Well, is there 3 years or two?
I mean, it depends on who you ask, right?
Right. You know, Trey Boston is probably close to the cream of the crop. Some people are going to say it's Eric Reed. I don't see Kansas City going that direction, but we will see moving forward.
Yeah, I think overall, man, I think at the end of the day, you got to be happy that they signed Williams. And if they get to a safety, that's great. But, I mean, yes, it's still a hole, but you got to feel a lot better today than you felt yesterday, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, they have young depth at the defensive tackle position, and we still don't really know what we have in Justin Hamilton either. He was a guy that got brought into Kansas City late last year. So we will see what we have in him. It's possible he doesn't even make the roster, but it's too early to know what they really have in him. So it's possible that they got their nose tackles for the future. It's also possible that they go into the second round, they like, and somebody drops and they go and draft him, but we just don't know.
Well, at least it's a point where they can start from, and they have a body that can at least get some work done.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a good one. I think it's, like I said, a young guy that they can build around. It's going to be – I'm really interested to find out if it's a multi-year deal or if it's just a shorter-term deal. I would imagine it's a couple years, but the question is how much and how long.
Yeah, I mean, that almighty second contract, right?
Right. But, you know, he was an undrafted free agent, and they obviously didn't think enough of him to tender him for more than, the original pick, which obviously didn't work out for them. But we will see.
Well, and I think it comes down to a number of usage. You know, I mean, they had the option to match the offer if they wanted to. They chose not to. And, yeah, I talked yesterday a little bit about how much playtime a nose can really get. And honestly, people have been complaining they didn't play that much. And, you know, from where I'm sitting, I think that's okay, because the amount that they're in the three-man front is not as much as it used to be.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch him in preseason and in training camp to see if he can add anything other than just the straight nose. If he can't, then it's a very limited position, and you don't really get a lot of bang for your value there. But if he can add more and be a rotational guy in other situations, and maybe not necessarily give him a lot of pass rush, but you know, provide a bigger nickel base that they could go to. I think that would be a very big benefit for them. We are here today to talk to you about the inside linebacker position, which is a position that has gone through a lot of changes in Kansas City recently.
Man, I'm excited. This is by far, and I think we've talked about this on the show before, this is the position that if I'm a new GM that I build from this position outward, the center of the defense, both depth-wise and sideline to sideline, I'm excited for what they're doing.
Wait a second. So is this the fullback of the defensive side of the ball?
It is.
Oh, God.
The guy can do a little bit of everything. And
I apologize. I apologize to everybody ahead of time. We're going down a deep, dark hole.
If Sherman were taller, he could play this position too. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, you got to remember, I'm a Matt Sui guy. So if anyone out there knows it, hit the Locked On Chiefs at Twitter so that we can talk about that.
Yeah, and bless your heart if you understand what he's talking about, because anyway.
Chris is too young to remember Matt Sui. That's just the way it is. I'm the old guy on the show.
Yeah, he is the old guy on the show. He has to be in bed by 9:15. I am, but he's an hour behind me, so he gets away with it a little bit. If you haven't had a chance to, go give us a rating or review on iTunes. We really appreciate that. We will be getting back to reading some of those and giving you more props for those in the near future.
Yeah, we see your voicemails coming in too. We're going to enjoy that. And we have plenty to discuss. We're trying to get all the information out first, and we're going to have the discussion here towards the latter end of the week, if not next week as well. So thank you for everything you've done, as well as all the ratings and reviews and all the rest of it. We really appreciate that. And it does mean something. I know it sounds kind of trivial, but it is important. When advertisers look at us and want to run their ads on our show, it's because you guys have left comments and been on iTunes, and iTunes is just the thing that they look at the most. So we thank you and we appreciate that. What we're going to look at today is going to be fun, I think.
So let's get to talking about the inside linebacker group. This group is a group that has changed over the past couple of months in significant ways.
Yeah, it's a group that we've talked ad nauseum about last season, and it was really because of just the historical significance of still having the most prolific tackler in the history of this organization still on the roster at inside linebacker, despite having suffered two terrible Achilles injuries and a number of others through the years. And Derek Johnson has moved on. Don't see a whole lot of bites going on right now in the free agent market. Hopefully, if he still really wants to play, that he gets a little action there and can try and do that again. I think he can still be an effective third down linebacker. He's not as fast as he used to be, but because you had him on this defense, you had to try and work around both the salary and the playing time for a player like that. And now what they've been able to do is focus on youth and building the next generation, the next wave of how they're going to use the inside linebackers to accomplish their goal in limiting points and yards. And I think they've gone about it a fairly interesting way.
Yeah, by trade, generally, in the past couple – and last year, they went out and they traded for two inside linebackers that we had no idea were even going to be on the Chiefs roster in 2016 or 2017. I apologize. And those, both of those moves, I think, turned out pretty well for them. Both of them ended up being starters in KPL and Reggie Ragland. Kevin Pierre-Lewis is no longer in Kansas City, but we will talk about that in a minute. But Reggie Ragland was such a big part of this defense last year in a resurgence. That's kind of funny because you and I were actually sitting in the stands talking to Matt Derrick when they took the field and we found out that Reggie Ragland was going to be the starting linebacker.
Right. You know, I mean, we had a great time that particular game out in the tailgate amongst all of you. We had a wonderful time running into the guys from Arrowheads Abroad. But then we get into the stadium and we're talking with Matt. And obviously you guys have heard Matt on the show. So we have a good rapport and we hang out a little bit when we have a chance. And we're sitting there just shooting the general stuff about what's going to go on in this game. And we see Reggie Ragland taking snaps with the starters. And it dawns on all of us about the same time that, oh.
And it was a race to see who could tweet it out first.
And Matt won. I'm so terrible. I misspelled about three tweets and had to erase them.
Well, you and Matt both need edit buttons on Twitter. So
yeah, that's for sure. Good
Lord. Hey, Twitter, we know you're listening. You listen to everything. Give us an edit button. It will save Ryan so much headache. Well, it saved me headache having to edit him and let him know that he's messed up.
But yeah, and here's the great thing that is so remarkable about what's out of ordinary for this franchise over the last 20 years. And, you know, for those of you who don't know or are new to the show, you know, Chris and I have been covering this team for the last 6 years. We've been doing this podcast or a version of a podcast for the last 3 years. And we both go back a long ways, a long, long ways. I was there in the 90s, you know, when Chris was still in diapers and watching that defense
play. Wasn't quite that. God, I wish. Thank you for making me feel like I was that young. Okay. But no, I was not quite that young.
I'm here for you.
Yeah.
But in that history.
It's the only time he's ever nice to me. So,
well, just so
might as well take it when I can get it.
Yeah, right. But in that history, the Chiefs are going to have starting linebackers in 2018, they were both acquired by trade, and that's so out of character for this organization that I think it's remarkable that they have decided that that's the route that they have to go. It's clearly a priority for them in locking down what they can do in the front seven. It's great to have pass rushers, but you have to have guys that can complement them as well.
I think you need to think about what you just said, because both their starting inside linebackers will not be from trades. But
I'm sorry, trades, acquisitions, free agency. I'm saying they didn't draft them. That's the point.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's different than just trades, is what they had last year. And that's the only reason I pointed out is because they did last season have two starting inside linebackers from trades. Kevin Pierre-Louis was traded for a guy in DJ Alexander that, you know, we both talked about this. We were both shocked. I was actually on my way up to training camp when I saw that the trade broke. And DJ Alexander was never going to be a starter in Kansas City. He was never going to be anything more than a special teams player. I think that they really liked Kevin Pierre-Louis, and I think they wanted to bring him back, but I think his off the field issues really caused them to go a different direction. But that's my own personal thoughts.
And that's fair, you know, but like you said, they made an experiment. Obviously, KPL didn't work out, especially against the run. His grade was not proficient enough. And they decided they had to move on. And what's different about this season going into the offseason activities that the Chiefs are preparing to start here, I think, in 2 weeks, is that they have obviously their starters in line in Ragland and Hitchens, but they also have their backups fairly cleanly defined. In they brought back Terrence Smith. As well as Kimi Oligwe, who's already under contract. They're the only other inside linebackers that are currently on their roster. I think Oligwe might get some chance to play outside at outside linebacker, and maybe that opens something up for the draft. But right now, the top four are the only four.
Yeah, and I think that's going to change eventually, although they also – Frank Zombo has played inside linebacker in times. I'm not saying that's necessarily a position you want him playing a lot of, but he can do it. And although I will say of all the seasons that he may not make this roster, this is going to be one of them that I think it's really really a chance that he doesn't.
Man, you know, and I've been saying that for a couple of years, but I don't know. We'll have to see. There's a lot still to be done about, you know, there's a lot of information going out, especially from the Chiefs organization itself, about how they expect it to be a big year for Dee Ford and how they expect him to be healthy here by April 1st, which is less than 2 weeks away now. I'm not completely sold on that, and I will decide to retain my opinion until we get to camp and we see him actually putting out in camp. But until then, I'm going to say that they still need to develop and find an answer should he not be able to play. And that's going to be kind of the focus for me right now. And maybe that means that Frank Zombo is over there, like you said. Maybe he can play inside, but he can definitely play outside. The inside linebackers, I think, are going to have to take up some of that slack.
What I will say about Dee Ford is the organization doesn't have a choice right now. We will see more. We will get more looking at their actions than really listening to their words in that at that position, because they have no choice with that with Dee Ford. He is guaranteed his money because he was not able to pass his physical. So, you know, at this point, they have no choice but to keep him. So, you know, going back to inside linebacker, we have four that we're going to talk about. Obviously, you know, Yukemi Oligwe is a guy that they went and drafted last year, and I think that they maybe thought that he would be a starter going forward in a couple of years. I think that they were planning on him, you know, being someone that they could plan on being a big part of their defense in a couple of years. But I'm wondering if, you know, and you've mentioned this before, if he's not going to be somebody that's going to get some outside linebacker snaps as well.
You know, he's got that burst, and that's really a physical advantage that you can take advantage of it. And if he can learn to use his hands, he's a bit undersized for, you know, a true outside linebacker. But if it works, it works. I mean, you still have big question marks in whether Tano Pastaneo can make the jump to outside linebacker. We've seen some flashes from him. We've also seen him set the edge well in some instances and terribly in some others. Huge question mark in Daddy Nicklaus, who showed some great initial movement off of the snap when he was healthy, spent all last year out of the picture because of his knee. You expect that he's probably fully recovered now, well a year removed from his injury, and I'm looking for him to hopefully make some noise in camp. But yeah, it's the outside linebackers are one thing. Oligwe is one of those, just like Frank Zombo, like you mentioned, that can play probably both.
Yeah, and I'm not sure which position he'll play better for Kansas City, but he is one of those guys that is going to be there. It's possible they bring back a guy like Ramique Wilson, but right now that doesn't look like that's going to be the direction they're going to be going. We do know that Reggie Ragland is going to be a starter, and that is a fantastic piece to be building around moving forward. I do know that, you know, I was very, very excited for Kansas City to have the opportunity to trade for him. I think, you know, when he came out of the draft, I wanted them to draft him. So for them to be able to trade for him and get him for a fourth round pick, well worth it in my mind.
And, you know, you can call this a passing league all you want, but the Chiefs have been beat up against the run in the last several years. And I think Ragland has started to lock that down. And we need to talk about this acquisition of Anthony Hitchens, because in Hitchens, you get a guy who is built to defend the run as well. Instinctual. He can attack the hole when he needs to. He's got a little bit of Derek Johnson in him. He does duck a block every now and then to squeeze around, makes plays behind the line of scrimmage. I think that's something we don't talk enough about, in my opinion. But the thing that I like about him most is exemplified by his 2017 season, in which he did go against Kareem Hunt, by the way. Zero missed tackles for Anthony Hitchens in 2017.
That's huge. You talk about wanting to be strong up the middle, and he is definitely a player that is going to give you that ability to be strong up the middle. They have said multiple times that they intend for him to be a three-down linebacker for them and be in there for the nickel and dime packages. So he looks to be a big cog in their defense moving forward. If you can get Ragland on the same page as him, and even if Ragland misses, you know, 5-6 tackles a season, I think you're still going to be in great shape.
And that's really the question mark, is the two of them together as a pair. DJ has always been such an extreme example of a will inside linebacker in a 3-4, which is equivalent to a will in a 4-3 as well, that they're chase linebackers. Their athleticism is what gets the play done. They're not take on guys. They're not overwhelming force. They are chase a guy down from behind, make an impact play. Reggie Ragland's not that guy. So he needs someone with him. And Hitchens is obviously playing that position in Dallas. I think he can do it here. I see no reason not to. I think they're better against the run. And I'll tell you this. I think the pair of them at the second level alleviates having to have a premier talent at the nose tackle level. I think they can make up for a guy that can eat space and take on blocks, and they're still going to be able to be just as proficient as they have been, if not better.
Well, and that would be encouraging if they can indeed do that. We will see whether or not that's really the case. But there is no doubt in my mind they greatly improved in the past two seasons at inside linebacker.
I agree. And the one thing that I want to see both of them do going forward as we get into OTAs and camp is – can they improve in man coverage on tight ends and backs? That's the only question with either of them. I think even Reggie Ragland, who's a touch slower in terms of his athletic metrics, I think he can still play well in zones. You know, if you're going to have your linebackers play zone, I think both of these guys can stay on the field until they drop. You know, 100% of the defensive snaps is not out of the question for this pair if you're having them drop into zones. It's only a question for me when they try to take on man coverage.
And we will see when that, if that becomes a reality later this season, obviously. You know, and this seems like a small thing to some, maybe, but I did think that it was quite interesting. Is not necessarily the right word, but I did find it kind of funny, I guess, is another way to put it. Ragland has 59, which is what Hitchens has wore his entire career. Hitchens now has the money to go buy the number and didn't seem like he really cared about it too much. And to me, that's, you know, him giving respect to Reggie Ragland.
Yeah, and I think he said that in his interview with BJ Kissel, that that he reviewed his film and didn't want to take away from that, and he's happy to wear 53, and that's just fine. And I'm looking forward to seeing the two of them come together and become a duo. So we're going to look for that in OTAs, folks. We're going to look for that in camp. And, you know, as it goes along, we'll certainly tell you whether we think it's working or not. But at this point, I think we're both on the positive side and hope you are too. If you're not, please let us know at either Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. In addition, please let us know how you're liking the pod, especially all of you new folks. We see a lot of new traffic going on in different places around the country and around the world, to be honest. And we appreciate your feedback. Do that through iTunes or through the Twitter account. Rate, review, and subscribe. They're the best things you can do to help us have more time and more advertisers to help you. So we appreciate everything that you do for us, and we'll keep doing what we do for you. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.